All right, take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. I want to read a few verses here tonight, just so you will get the gist. I have preached to you from Matthew 24 in this series that I've been doing on the second coming of Christ. And tonight I want to go to Luke 21. And I want to share a couple of really neat things with you here out of this great chapter that is a sister chapter to Matthew 24 and 25. All right, everybody got it? All right, look up here. All right, the next prophetic event is what? The rapture of the church. All right, so rapture of the church right here. Everybody got that? Rapture. Now, 7 years after the rapture, for 7 years, there will be what the Bible refers to as the tribulation period, as the time of Jacob's trouble, that last 3.5 years, just awful judgment, awful divine intervention to quash the Antichrist and the devil, and it's just going to be a terrible period, especially the last 3.5 years. All right, so rapture the church. Now that's the next thing that's going to happen on God's calendar. All right, now what I'm going to read to you tonight, and what the Lord is talking about is the end of this 7 years of tribulation. So everything that we're going to look at tonight is at least 7 years from tonight. You with me? It's at least 7 years from tonight. At least. Now, if the Lord doesn't come back this evening, then it'll be 7 years from tomorrow. But there's nothing to prevent the Lord from coming back. He can come back at any moment. Nothing to stop his return. So rapture, ruin, 7 years, ruin, RR, 7 years of tribulation, then return. All right, that's the return when Christ comes back with all of us who were raptured out. And comes back, and with the tribulation saint come back, he comes back to the earth to rule and to reign. So you got rapture, ruin, return, then reign, 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then the great white throne judgment, new heaven, new earth, and eternity, restoration. All right, so rapture, ruin, return, reign, R-E-I-G-N, reign, 1,000-year millennial reign, then restoration. That's God's plan. You with me? That's biblical eschatology. Eschatology, the study of future things. And this is how the Bible lays out God's plan. Now, look please at Luke 21 in verse 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what sign will there be that these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, are we listening? You were listening, weren't you? Because all of you, your eyes got that big when I read that word. Well, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, it is. It's amazing, isn't it? And when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. Now, he's not talking about us. He's talking about the Jews. They shall persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Jump down, please, to verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries there enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Look here. All things which are written. All. The plan has been right here in the book all along. God has not hidden it from us. It's been right here all along. And the Lord said, these days shall be days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be cast away, or led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun. Now, by the way, the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Israel is now back in their land. They have been for almost for 60 years. They have been in their land. The times of the Gentiles is just about done. Okay? We're still in it, but it's just about done. They're back in the land. Now, look at verse 25. Now look at me. Right here. Okay? Right here. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them of a parable. Now I'm not going to read that, but jump down to verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my what? Shall not pass away. Now the Lord has just told us all this that is his plan. And he says that the heavens and the earth are going to pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now I want to speak to you tonight on God's plan. God's plan is coming together. God's plan is coming together. Let's pray. Our Father, bless us tonight. Help us tonight. Lord, I pray you'll help me to say what I need to say and bless it mightily, Lord. And use the word of God to show us the urgency of the hour. And Lord, may we have confidence in the word and know that the word of God is not going to fail. Not one jot nor tittle will fail. And Lord, may we leave here tonight determined and resolved to live for Christ, and Lord, to make the most out of what little time we have left on this planet. Lord, bless us. We need to get a little glimpse tonight of the plan that you have for this world. Bless us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God has not hidden from man his plan for the ages. It's right here in the book. It's revealed to us in the book. God has revealed his plan from a multitude of perspectives. It is given to us in prophecy as we have seen over the last year. As we've looked at Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Joel and all the rest of them. It is given in prophecy. God's plan is given in picture. It is given in allegory. It is given in type. It is given in shadow. And it is, of course, given in direct statement. Now, the scriptures tell us of the great conflict between God and Satan, the struggle between good and evil, between truth and the lie, and how God will ultimately defeat the devil and the redeemed will live throughout all eternity in the light of Christ. In the last week of our Lord's life, he spoke in great detail of what was going to happen. Matthew 24 and 25 record those words. And then Luke 21 also records those words. He tells us a great deal in this chapter that I read for you this evening of what is going to happen just prior to his return to the earth. We call this period the tribulation period. And the picture that is presented by our Lord of how things are going to be on the earth during the tribulation is not a pretty picture. It is going to be chaos in this world. Let me just stop right here. It's chaos right now. As bad as it is right now, it's going to get worse. And especially during the last half of the tribulation period, the nations will be at war with one another. There will be earthquakes and there will be natural disasters and there will be famine and pestilences that will strike fear in the hearts of men everywhere. You can go to the book of the Revelation and beginning in chapter 6, you can read between chapter 6 and the end of chapter 18. You can read about all of the traumatic things that are going to happen on this planet during the tribulation period. God does not hide from us what is going to happen. Now, in this chapter, in Luke, in verse 20, chapter 21, verse 20, Jesus said that the city of Jerusalem will be compassed about with armies. And that when this happens, the Jews will know that the beast, the Antichrist, will be in full rage against Christ and against his people, Israel. In the verse I read for you tonight, the Lord Jesus went on to say that when you see all these things come to pass, when you see the heavens acting up, when you see the seas acting up, when you see war and famine and pestilence and all these things happening, he said that you will know to lift up your head because your redemption draweth nigh. Now, to be sure, folks, no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. I don't know that, and neither do you. Nobody does. By the way, Harold Camping doesn't know either. Now, you can send him a letter and tell him I said so. He does not know when the Lord is coming again. He's the one Dr. Smith sent the letter to saying, if the Lord, if you really believe what you're saying, then you deed all of your radio stations to me on May 22nd, 2011. Because he is saying that the Lord is coming back on May 21st, 2011. All right, so he got no response. Dr. Smith got no response. Funny, isn't it? Now, to be sure, we don't know when the Lord's coming. I don't know when he's coming back. Nobody does. But I do know that we can look at what is going on in the world today, and we can read our Bible and then compare what the Bible says with what our eyes see, and it ought to fill our hearts with excitement as we see God's plan taking such form and shape that the whole tribulation scene could begin tomorrow. That's how much of it is fulfilled.
Right.
It's amazing, folks. Look at verse 34. The Lord said, "Take heed that you are not so caught up in all that is the world today that the day of the Lord sneaks upon you without notice." Don't be caught up. Look at it. I didn't read it for you, but look at it. It says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." You know what he's saying there? Don't get so caught up in the world, in life, in the cares of this world. Don't get all so caught up in the Super Bowl and the Grammys and NASCAR and all the stuff that the world... In other words, don't put your focus down here. Put your focus up where it belongs. And when you start seeing all this stuff, it's a pretty good indication that things are winding down. So be prepared, be ready, get excited about the Lord coming back. In verse 35, Jesus went on to say, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Brethren, I'm telling you, we're getting down to the wire on this thing. I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking for him any day now. Now, if he don't come back any day now, I'm from West Virginia. Forgive me. If he doesn't come back, I know he's coming. I know he's coming. And when you can stand here and look at what's going on in our world today and realize what is happening in our world today, listen, I just don't want it to come upon us like a snare. I just don't want the Lord to come back and catch any of us going, "Oh, wait a minute, I wasn't ready for that. Whoa." No, get ready for it, dear friend. Read your Bible. Get up on your Bible. I mean, reread your Bible. Re-study your Bible. I mean, get concerned about those loved ones that you know that are not yet saved. It's time. The Lord's coming is near. He said it's gonna come upon the world like a snare, like a trap, springing and catching the world in its grip, but it should not sneak up and catch us off guard. We can read the Bible. We can know the plan. We can see things taking shape, and we can be ready when the Lord comes back. And so when we start seeing the signs, the Lord said that this is the generation that will hear the trumpet sound and will see the glorious appearance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, just think about what a day that's going to be. Now, here's the foundation. Look at it. Here's my message tonight. Listen very carefully. Look at verse 33. Look at it. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Amen. Folks, look at me. God's plan is based on the authority of the Word of God. God's plan is based on the authority of the Word of God. And I want you to know that there is no greater authority anywhere than God's Word. If God says it is a certain way, mark it down, it's that way. Now, we have a choice. We can either believe God and take Him at His Word, or we can choose not to believe God. That's our choice. That's our prerogative. But brethren, I find it amazing. This has been in the Bible all along. There has never been a generation that could read this chapter and sit back and say to themselves, wow, that's exactly the way the world is today. There's never been a generation that could do that until now. We are that generation. And man, we ought to get excited about it. What have we learned about the prophets? What have we learned? Well, I tell you, with what we've learned about the prophets, I'm going to choose to believe God. I mean, we've learned that God names names in those prophets. We've learned on Wednesday nights that God names names. He calls nations by name and tells us what those nations are going to do. He calls by name the nations that will form this coalition of nations united under the Antichrist. Turkey and Iran and Iraq and Egypt and Syria and Jordan and the Saudis and Yemen and Lebanon and Libya and all those nations. God calls them by name in the Bible. And we have learned that all of these nations have one thing in common with each other, and that is their Muslim religion.
That's right.
All have that Islamic eschatology. That is what Islam is all about. It's all about the eschatology. That it's all about that. That's what it's all about. I mean, we have learned that Islamic eschatology, as found in the Quran and in the Hadith, all teach that in the last days, all these nations will come together in a massive Islamic coalition and will seek to destroy the Jews and will seek to dominate and control and put all mankind under Islamic Sharia law. That's in their writings. They don't hide it, folks. Did any of you watch Wednesday night? Did you watch Hannity when you went home? Did anybody watch it? Who watched it? Could you believe it? Could you believe it? I walked in, I flipped on the news, and right there was Oliver North. And Sean asked him, said, Ollie, what's going on over there in the Middle East? Oliver North looked at him and said, well, if you want my opinion, Sean, and I know my opinion's not very popular, but my opinion is this is the revolution that they've been calling for now for years. And it's the Islamic revolution where they are stepping out to conquer the entire world and destroy the nation of Israel. And I'm sitting there going, bingo, Ollie. You got it, buddy. I mean, he nailed it right there. This is they're preparing for the end times. They are preparing to fulfill the destiny that their scriptures tell them is going to happen. Just as we believe the Bible is God's word, Muslims believe that the Quran is Allah's perfect world. We learn that the Muslims believe there's a great battle against Israel that is coming. Allah is going to guide their leader, the Mahdi. He is going to guide them and enable them and assist them so that they can wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. They believe that in this last days, end days time, when they come against Jerusalem, they believe that the trees will say to the Muslim soldier, hey, Muslim soldier, come, there is a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill him. And brethren, they are dead serious about all of this and feel it is their destiny. Now, I said to you last Wednesday night, this revolution that is happening in Egypt and Tunisia and Jordan and Saudi Arabia and Libya and Lebanon and Syria is not a fluke. It is not a coincidence. It did not just happen. For 30 years, these people have been under Mubarak's tyranny. There has been brutality. There has been so much wickedness that has gone on. They have taken our billions of dollars and pocketed them and put them all over the world so to guarantee that that Mubarak and his family will always be rich. Make no mistake about it. While the people have lived in total abject poverty. Sad, sad, sad. And so what is happening over there is not just a bunch of people decided, well, you know, we sure do like that freedom they have over in America. They've watched our freedom for a long time and nobody's done anything about it. You say, well, Pastor, what's going on? What is happening is exactly what is found in the Bible. God's word tells us that the devil would inspire a coalition of nations against Israel. Let me just take you back now, a year ago. Take you back to where we started all this on the first week of March. And God's word, we looked at all of them. We looked at them in Isaiah. We looked at it in Ezekiel 38 and 39. We looked at it in Joel 2 and 3. We looked at it in the book of Micah and in Zechariah and in Psalm 79 and through 83. We looked at it in Matthew 24 and 25. And now here we are in Luke 21. And the Lord Jesus said it's coming. And then we looked at it in Revelation 17 and 18. And in all these chapters, and in all these verses, God told us these exact nations would gather against Israel. And amazingly, Isaiah told us that the one who would lead this coalition, he called him Gog. A play on God. Gog. Ezekiel called him Gog, a play on God. Isaiah called him Pharaoh. That's strange, isn't it? And Isaiah called him the Assyrian. Isaiah called him the king of Tyre. Tyre is the city of Lebanon. He calls him the Babylonian. John calls him the beast and the Antichrist. Paul calls him that wicked one. Folks, I find it really interesting. Now watch, you got the rapture, then you got 3.5 years, and then 3.5 years. This battle is not till over here. I find it really interesting that back here, just before the rapture, that the coalition forces, I'm talking about United States and Britain and Australia, I'm talking about the nations of the coalition against Saddam and so on. They were given 10 years ago, they were given strict instructions with their bombing missions. Do not bomb Babylon, the ruins. Now they bombed at Baghdad, just to the north, but they were told, do not bomb Babylon. Why? We want to say Rome. Our Bible doesn't say Rome. Our Bible says Babylon. We want to say European Antichrist. Really strange how my Bible says Persia and Assyria and Babylon. I'm telling you, folks, this thing is winding down. John called him the beast. the Antichrist. Paul called him that wicked one. And the amazing thing today, what you're seeing on your news right now is the cry of Islam for this Mahdi to come. Just as Christianity is focused on the promise of a coming Savior, the Lord Jesus, Islam's main character is the Mahdi. And they teach that he will come and unify this Islamic world to accomplish two things. First of all, to bring the entire world under Sharia law. And that means America too. Yes. Now, the other day, I think it was Wednesday night. Help me, Mike. I think it was Wednesday night. Sean Hannity had this Muslim cleric from this priest, this imam from over in London. And Sean, I tell you, you got to give Sean credit. Of course, he was talking to him via satellite. So, he did not back down from him. And he made a statement that when this guy made that statement, shivers went over me. He said, "We are in your backyard. We're in your backyard." Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That's scary. I know they're in our airports. I know they're in our airplanes. They're in our backyard. Ooh, that's scary. Force the world into Sharia law. Second, once they will, the world is brought into submission to Allah, they will attack Israel with the purpose of destroying the Jews. But folks, God's plan is given in the Bible, and Satan's plan is given in the Quran. And again, I remind you of verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And now here we are in 2011, living in a time when we can watch our TV news and see the nations that God names by name line up. We can see it. We can hear the cry for the caliphate to be restored. We can hear the Muslim Brotherhood boldly exclaim that the Egyptians should prepare for war with Israel. I'm saying to you folks, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. Could this be the generation that sees, that hears the trumpet sound? Could this be? Again, folks, I take you back to the question that is the heart and foundation of it all. And that is, do you believe the Bible to be the Word of God? Man, I do. I do with every fiber of my being. The world stage is set like it's never been set before. I've never seen it like this. I don't know when the Lord Jesus is going to sound the trumpet and snatch his bride away. I don't know how much longer we have to wait for the Lord to come and take us out. But when you look at the rapid rate in which the program of God is unfolding, you cannot help but think, man, we cannot be here much longer. You just can't help but think it. The Ayatollah, just the day before yesterday, the Ayatollah, the guy that runs Iran, the Ayatollah said Friday, just 2 days ago, it was in the Jerusalem Post. I read it online in the Jerusalem Post. And the Ayatollah said that what is happening in Egypt and the other countries is an Islamic awakening. It is an Islamic awakening. Are you listening?
Yes.
An Islamic awakening. Awakening. He said that it is an Islamic revolution that should not be a surprise to anyone who knows and understands that Islam will one day rule the world. They feel it's their destiny, folks. Why? Because their book tells them that's what's going to happen. My book tells me they're going to be defeated. Who you going to believe? Who you going to believe? I'm saying we want to say Rome, our Bible says Babylon. We want to say Europe, but the nations of the Bible, which come against the Middle East, are Middle Eastern nations. They're not European nations. Their names are there. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon. That's the names in the Bible. That's the names in the Bible. You cannot find Spain and Great Britain and Germany and Luxembourg. You can't find them. Sweden, Denmark. No, no, they're not there. What is there are the nations that make a crescent around Israel. Israel right here, surrounded on every side by people who have an ideology that has been sold to them in the name of religion that comes from the devil, spawned of the devil himself. That calls for their demise. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. The revolution that is happening is a cry for an Islamic caliphate to be created. It is a uniting of all these Muslim nations under one ruling religious body who will then sanction their leader, the Mahdi, to lead them as a Muslim, as a Muslim coalition. I'm telling you, folks, the revolution is upon us. It's upon us. And you know, let me, you know, when this Sharia law kicks in, there are going to be a lot of folks here in America not going to like that. We're not going to have to worry about it. We're going to be out of here. But when it kicks in, I know a lot of folks. You know, there's a lot of folks that don't like the Bible's law. You know? There are people that don't like it. You know, they'll come in here and they'll sit down and they'll hear me say, hey, if you don't get saved, you can't get to heaven. You got to trust Jesus to get to heaven. Well, I don't like that. I ain't going back there no more. Did you hear what that guy said to me? He told me I was a sinner. And then they go tell 10 or 12 of their friends, don't go over the open door. That guy tell you you're a sinner. Don't go there. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. That's what they believe. That's what they believe. Yeah, that's what we believe because that's what this believes. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to lord it over you. I'm trying to get you to see the truth. This is the truth of God's word. You must be born again. But you think God's law's tough? You just wait, America. You just wait when they tell you that you got to be covered from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You think Washington's taxes are bad now? Just wait until they tax you for living in Muslim land. And they will. They will. You say, well, Americans are not going to like that. Nah, I know. They're not going to like it when the guy the other night that I'm on, he said if America would get under Sharia law, you wouldn't have a prison crowding problem anymore. And that's true. Because there wouldn't be 25 years of appeals at the expense of the American taxpayer. They just find you guilty, take you out, and cut your head off. And boy, that's not going to sit real good with the PC crowd here in America. Oh, man. I mean, all these rights advocates, people, they're going to split their britches on this. Whew, man. It's not going to be pretty. I mean, women can't go to school. That's right. You can't work. You either submit to Sharia law or you get your head chopped off. And I, again, go over to Revelation 20 and I'll be done. Again, I go back to the Bible. Look here, folks. Rapture. Beginning of the tribulation period, 3.5 years. Caliphate calls the Mahdi. Mahdi's not going to come in and instantly do all this, but in 3.5 years, an awful lot can be done. That peace treaty made with Israel at the midpoint, walks into the temple, probably on dedication day, walks into the temple because he's the one that brokered the peace treaty, and now they got it built, and here he comes walking in. Man, the world's happy, isn't it? Look at the world. Can you see the New York Times? Can you see it? They're going to be thrilled. Oh, look here. We got Jews and Muslims standing together. man, this is utopia. This is what Wilson talked about. This is what Obama talked about. Man, in this precious. We got everybody holding hands, singing kumbaya. And then all of a sudden, the treaty is broken. And we see the real devil. We see the devil incarnate. And for the next 3.5 years, the world is going to pay a dear price for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at what happens. Chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. Look here. This is here. All right. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Hallelujah. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now look at verse 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were, what's the next word? Beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. What other culture, what people do you know who beheads? And the reason they behead is because if you cut somebody's head off, they cannot say another word. They cannot prove you wrong. You lock them up, they can get their word out. They'll somehow or another get their word out. But you cut off their head, they cannot speak. It's done. And for as long as these people have been on the planet, these Muslims, they have chopped off the heads of their enemies. And I read that verse for 40 years now. I've read that verse. And I'm going to be honest with you, that verse has always troubled me. Always troubled me. Because the Europeans do not behead. It's always troubled me. But the Muslims behead. And when that Sharia law comes into America, you're going to have 144,000 witnesses. You're going to have the two witnesses. And they're back here. They're back here. They are back here. And then all of a sudden, for 3.5 years, you've got this Antichrist doing his thing. And there's going to be an awful lot of people that are going to lose their heads. And that's who's resurrected here in verse 4. Not us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Can I get a witness of that right there? Amen. Yes. We're gone. But as Jesus said, woe be to them upon the earth. If you don't know the Lord, dear friend, you better listen. It's time to heed. It's time to give ear. The Lord is coming again. Could be today. Could be tonight. If it is, we'll see you over on the other side.